What's up, Fight Fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023, and this week's episode, Strickland wins the man dance. We'll be talking about a stacked week in combat sports, obviously UFC 293 from Sydney, Australia, and the changing of hands for the middleweight title. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news, Gamebred FC with quite the rematch in the heavyweight division and what that could mean for the future. And we'll talk about the upcoming events announced in October. The Apex will be very busy before going to Abu Dhabi. And we'll cap it off by talking about this coming Saturday's UFC event, Noche UFC, the rematch between Valentina Shevchenko and champion Alexa Grasso. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez. As we went over last week, Natalie is not here. She's on vacation, but I brought in a new friend to talk with me about everything. She is Brianna Eckert of Fight Bananas and Bree Talks MMA. Brianna, thank you for coming on. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
I mean, so I was going over it. We met online, so online friends connecting for content in real life. What else is better in 2023? And I was going through your content, very big fan, very opinionated, love to talk long form on a podcast like me. So I was like, this girl, we're going to get along just fine. Let's have her on the show. I really want to get to know you a little bit and have the listeners get to know you. So first off, you were doing some content. Your mom called both the main and co-main right for Saturday. What was your reaction to having that, you know? You have the receipts of Mama Eckert getting the job done.
You know, it's funny because you never want to, like, my entire life, I've always rebelled against my parents. And I've been like, no, you know, if my parents like red, I like blue. You know, that's how I've always been. And so it was funny. And I had already kind of made my picks beforehand. So I asked my mom, I'm like, all right, mom, you want to get on my Instagram and do your picks? I'm like, who do you think's gonna win, Adesanya or Strickland? And I'm like, and she said Strickland. And I'm like, oh, you're crazy. I'm like, no, you're actually crazy. And it's funny because, like, my mom doesn't know MMA like I do. Like, she loves MMA. She loves watching it. She watches Bellator. She watches UFC. Like, she loves it. But she doesn't know MMA like I do. So she's just, like, guessing, you know? She's not actually basing this off of, like, oh yeah, because of Sean Strickland's, you know, defense. And, you know, like, she doesn't know why she's picking Sean Strickland, but she also picked Volkov. And then, you know, she was right. And I was like, that just goes to show, like, every MMA media person or expert that I saw, they all picked Adesanya. Like, I didn't see anybody saying, like, this is how Sean Strickland's going to win. Like, there might have been a few out there, but not many, like, especially, like, the big ones, like Luke Thomas and Ariel Helwani, and, like, you know, like, everybody that's, like, bigger, and then even the smaller ones too, like, everybody was picking Adesanya. I picked Adesanya, and a lot of people that I knew that know a lot about MMA were all like, yeah, there's no way Sean Strickland's gonna win this fight. And then my mom, you know, who has no idea why she's picking Sean Strickland. It's just funny. It's just your funny luck. How that works.
It's frustrating when they're right for no reason, isn't it?
Yeah, just... I guess that's what I'm getting at here is, like, that's MMA though. That's MMA. You just never know.
I mean, we'll get into it, obviously. I mean, you're not wrong. We all got shocked on that one. You are part of the Fight Bananas team with David Van Auken, super guy. I met him recently and, you know, big fan of you guys' content on that website over there. Can you talk a little bit about what you do at Fight Bananas?
Yeah, so I just started working with Fight Bananas and I'm super, super excited to be working with them. Dave's a great guy. They're doing a lot of exciting things over there. But yeah, I just started working with them. Pretty recently, they asked me to cover their Dana White Contender Series post show. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of a last minute thing. It was like a couple days before Contender Series started, because Dave and I were talking and they had just been following my content for a while. And so they were like, oh, we really liked how consistent you are. And, you know, that's why we, you know, we've been paying attention. So it was really cool. They asked me to do that post show. So I just basically live stream after the contender series and hop on there and kind of, you know, get my little hot takes or talk about the matchups, kind of break down the fights a little bit. And it's really fun. And so, you know, we've been kind of just working together on that. And then this weekend I did the post show for Gamebred FC. So that was really fun. And Dave and Maddie and John, I believe, too, they were all down there at the fights. So they were covering, they did the press conference. Dave did the post-fight interviews in the cage. They did the pre-show. So it was really cool. And yeah, they like kind of got a little spotlight this weekend. So it was awesome.
And then what part of the States are you based out of? What area?
I'm in St. Louis.
Okay, all right. So Midwest girl, right? Or is that Mideast more? There you go.
Midwest, yeah.
Yeah, and so obviously very big fan, listening to your show, very opinionated, likes to get into it, likes the stats, which I always respect because my brain has never worked well with the numbers for stats and all that. Yours clearly does.
Thank
How did you.
You
first get involved with, how'd you get introduced to MMA and being a fan?
Yeah, well, obviously my parents are both fans of MMA. My dad probably is the one that actually has more of the knowledge side of it. My mom just kind of likes to watch it. But he's into sports a lot too. And when I was a kid, like when I was like maybe 9 or 10, I was into sports. Like I liked to follow, sports a little bit, but then like all the girls thought I was weird. So I stopped doing it. You know, so I was like, oh, I'll try to be into like girly stuff. So I tried to be, you know, not myself. And then I don't know, I guess it was probably when I was in my early 20s when I started actually watching MMA. I think I was probably like 19 or 20 when I first really started paying attention to it, because even though my dad watched it, I didn't really like, I knew like he was watching it and he would have the fights on and stuff, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And he also used to take us to wrestling meets. So he took us to wrestling meets at Mizzou once or twice. And so we were kind of like, I was kind of exposed to it, but you know, I wasn't really, like I said, I always rebel against what my parents do. But then, yeah, when I was like 19 or 20, then I started watching the fights because one of my friends was really into MMA. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, my dad watched this stuff. I'm like, I don't know. This is kind of, like, I don't know if I'm into this kind of thing. And then, I don't know, I guess just being exposed to it over and over again, I was like, I actually like this. Like, I really like this. And I started to kind of pay attention to it more and look at it in a different way. 'Cause I think in the beginning, I looked at it in a way of like, oh, it's a little bit barbaric. Like, I didn't really understand it quite well at first, and then I kind of warmed up to it and realized that there's so much more to it than just fighting. It's actually an art. And it was when I kind of realized that and realized just like the story behind the fighters too. And it was the first time I saw Rose Namajunas win the belt, that was the first time that I really fell in love with MMA.
So when did you beat Joanna the first time?
Yes, that I clearly remember watching that, and that was when it really clicked in my head. Because, and I think it's just because I'm female, so like seeing another female that kind of, you know, she's about the same size as me, like it was just like I could relate to it. And I think that's what made me gravitate towards it after I saw that. And I was into it. Obviously, I was sitting there watching the fights, so I was a fan already of MMA, but I wasn't die hard into it like I am now until then. And after that, I just could not stop watching MMA. Like I got so I got so obsessed with it. Like I was watching the Ultimate Fighter reruns, I was watching like old classic fights, like I'm trying to think, like Shogun versus Henderson. I went back and watched all kinds of stuff. I went back and watched all Rose Namajunas fights. And yeah, I just kind of like really like went all in on it. And I think it was just because I felt inspired by it. And I still do to this day. I mean, I felt so inspired watching Sean Strickland come in there as such a big underdog and win against Adesanya. But yeah, I guess I felt inspired by it. And then I was like, you know what? I actually want to start training. Like, I want to just go all in on this. I'm like, I love this. So that, yeah, I think that was the biggest moment for me. And that was probably, I don't know how long ago that was, because I was probably in my early 20s when that happened. So that was probably like 5 years ago, at least.
Right.
Yeah, because Rose is like 29 or 30 now, I think. I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
I think she's about right there in her 30s. She's on the good side.
Yeah, she was young. She was young at that point. She was like 24, 25, I think, whenever she won the first time. So, yeah, but anyways, yeah, that was the biggest moment for me. I think that really turned me from a casual fan to a diehard fan, to the point where I'm like, I want to like actually get involved with this. Like, I want to learn, you know, how to fight. I want to learn everything about the sport. I want to keep up with all the rankings. Like, I just fell in love with it. I don't know. It was crazy. And I've ever since then, I have always been like just obsessed.
And then you've always, so like I said, huge fan. By the way, I'm with you there. Peer pressure gets to all of us at a young age. So no shame in saying you had to come back to MMA.
I think
later
I just
on.
Didn't want to like something that my parents liked. I think that was what it was.
I mean, that happens to a lot of us too.
I did that with a lot of things. But it was funny like how fast I became just like obsessed. Like, it was crazy. And then really when I started training, that was when I started to think like, oh, I actually want to like start talking about this, because I understood so much more about it, and it made me have so much more respect for fighters knowing what they go through and how hard it is. Like, it is so hard. And, you know, the first time I sparred, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Like, this is difficult. Like, this is not an easy thing to do. So it made me have a lot more respect. And then also just being around fighters too, and learning like, you know, how their weight cut goes and all the different things they have to do. And not only that, but like a lot of them have jobs and they have kids and they have all this stuff going on top of fighting that nobody sees behind the scenes. So I think that too was what really motivated me to like want to give the sport more, I guess, of a platform, like more attention, bring more people to the sport is really what I want to do.
Can I ask, what are some of your favorite things you've gotten to do so far?
With
MMA,
the sport?
Like, yeah, covering and all that, yeah.
Like
interviews, or have you done some stuff at events yet?
Haven't done live events yet. I mean, well, no, actually I did. I lied. I went to a kickboxing tournament here and I covered that event, and I'm going to do another one of those in November. And that was really fun. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was really cool. Because actually the main event, or maybe it was the co-main event, I think it was the co-main event, was he's undefeated. He's an undefeated kickboxer and he's really, really good. But I used to work with him like years ago, way before he ever did any martial arts.
Oh, wow.
So it was really cool, and he won in that event, and I got to cover his fight. So that was really, really cool. Just like somebody like I never thought I was ever gonna see again, you know. Somebody I worked with for like 6 months, and I always thought he was really cool, but then it like, I don't know, we stayed friends on Facebook, like, but we never like talked or hung out or had any like work together any, you know, after that. So then I see him fight, and I've seen him fight a few times. But the first time I saw him fight, I didn't even know that he was fighting. And I was like, wait, I know that guy. I was like, I used to work with him like 8 years ago. And it was just funny. We worked at this recording studio or whatever. But yeah, it was hilarious. And then I was like, hey, man, I didn't know you even fought. He's like, oh, I just started. And now he's like 8-0 or 9-0 or something in kickboxing. So yeah, so that was really cool. And a lot of those fights were amateur fights, but I actually really like watching amateur fights because I feel like they're so motivated, because like they're not doing it for money, and they're, a lot of them have other jobs, they have other things going on, so it's just like they're a little bit limited on like how much they can train and stuff, but they really are like I feel like they're hungrier like for the win. I don't know. I love watching amateur fights.
Yeah,
it's really
I think
fun.
There's something, there's the emotions are different, you know. I think that there's There's something very important about not letting yourself down or your coaches, even as a pro. But I think the amateurs, they're just like, they needed so much to go well. And I think there's some kind of the energy, the relief is very different in the amateurs compared to the pros who have done it a few times. And you know about bouncing back and not. I'm with you there. It is definitely a different vibe watching the amateurs, and something personal about seeing the growth of somebody, you know, at the grassroots of it all. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's really cool to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, obviously, we could talk a lot about it. I think the listeners want to hear a little bit about Sean and Izzy. Real quick, do you prefer Brianna, Bree, like on your show? What do you prefer?
Oh, you can just call me Bree.
Gotcha. Well, Bree, I mean, let's get into it. The main event, if you don't know the results, you've probably been in a coma for the last few days. Sean Strickland shocks Israelata Sanya on the scorecards, very dominant, 4-1 across the board. And look, I'm not going to go round by round, but I think the quickest way to describe it, it felt like watching it. Obviously, the Philly shell defense that Sean's known for was there, but probably the biggest difference, his ability to walk forward. Because I think that the thing that Adesanya has proven himself very effective at is that he gets guys in the middle of the octagon kind of to stop and watch him. And I think the fact that Sean kept moving forward was really what kept Adesanya from getting into that flow state that they talk about, a lot of that, from sitting down, from being comfortable. It just seemed like he decided to try to pick and pop for 25 minutes and get something going. And it just never did, because the whole time he's just still, while he's trying to find his openings, he's reacting to Sean so much being in his face. And I think that was the best thing that Sean did. He was able to make Adesanya work against the fence for the majority of the fight. First round, yes, we all think we're about to see the biggest upset in emphatic fashion. They obviously go the distance. Adesanya survives. The whole thing is just, you know, felt like the Twilight Zone. Somehow, Sean Strickland goes 25 minutes on the feet with Israel Adesanya, doesn't have a mark on his face. If he has a black eye, it was maybe a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, the guy just somehow didn't take damage in 25 minutes with the champion kickboxer. Then just really how beat up Adesanya was. Just the... You know, I've heard different way it described different ways, but just how lost he seemed in there. It just seemed like he didn't know what to do with the puzzle in front of him, despite trying to stick to his own game plan so much. So, look, on the short list for some of the most shocking upsets in UFC history and MMA in general, if you had told me on Saturday morning Sean Strickland is going to hardly throw kicks, isn't going to grapple, and he's going to win a 25-minute stand-up fight with Adesanya, I would have told you, I think you've never watched this before. And this is what we got. Full credit to him. Executed the game plan. Probably puts Coach Nick Sick and the whole Extreme Couture team on the short list for 2023 as team and coach of the year.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, that's all she wrote. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. So that fight was so crazy. So the first round, I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Like, the first round didn't really tell me a whole lot about Sean, I feel like, because Izzy kind of did what Izzy does. Like, he was throwing a lot of feints. He was getting Sean to react to a lot of his feints too. So it was working. Like, I thought he was setting up some traps. And that's kind of normally what he does. And I kind of felt like he wasn't going to do a whole lot in the first round anyways. Like, I kind of had a feeling that he wasn't going to drop Sean. He wasn't going to throw a huge head kick. Like, I didn't expect much from Izzy in the first round. So the first round, I was like, okay. But what I didn't expect in the first round was for Sean to drop Izzy and then almost finished the fight. I was like, what is going on? So, like, up until then, I thought Izzy was doing what Izzy does. And then in that moment, I was like, there's no way Izzy expected that to happen. Like, no way. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody that I've seen drop Izzy like that. I can't think of anyone. Obviously, Pajeda knocked him out. Yeah. But other than that, I don't know that he's ever been dropped like that in a fight. So when that happened, I was like, what is Sean about to win this fight? I was like, what is happening? But then I was like, okay, let's see what Izzy does in round two. Maybe it's just, you know, it's the first round. He wasn't expecting maybe that kind of power from Sean, whatever. But then it was just like, Izzy couldn't land anything. I mean, I've never seen anybody make him miss like that. And that was something I didn't really think about with Sean, is how good his defense is. And that Philly shell, it really is effective because he doesn't have his chin's not exposed. That's the thing. And it's so hard to hit people with that technique. It really is. And I didn't think about that before. I don't know. I really did not think about that. But it's Adesanya, you know, he's like probably the best striker we've seen in the UFC, or at least one of the best. Him and Wonderboy are probably, I don't know, they might be tied up there.
Oh, but yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was insane.
I mean, I think, look, and I will say this goes back to styles make fights. For example,
yes.
I know that, yes, Adesanya teases it himself. I'm the skinny dude. I don't got no power. He looked small against Pereira both times. He looked small against Cannonier. But man, he looked skinny, and it just felt like that was a big part of it. When you look at guys who've had success with Strickland at 185, you know, Pereira obviously bigger and just kind of overpowered that style. Jared Cannonier, I mean, yeah, close fight and all that, but the shots, his ability to do that damage with one shot, you know, that kind of overpowered a lot of the stuff that Sean Strickland likes to do. And that's just a part of the game. When you get to the top level, those athletic gifts are just as important as how good your X's and O's are tactically. So I think that that's a big part of it. I've heard this. Was he just, you know, quote, out of sorts? Was he not himself? I did get the feeling that, like, Adesanya is a superstar. And I think he, at this point of his career, is a little used to having that mojo, you know, with the crowd and everything. He knows he has a lot of fans. He knows people are excited to see him. And I think there was a very clear shift. The fans just kind of ate up Sean Strickland's lack of political correctness, right? He said a lot of stuff. He said a lot of stuff all week. You know, the presser, obviously media day, stuff like that. And even if the fans weren't necessarily expecting him to win, I think there was an appreciation. We're not here to see a blowout. We want to see some entertainment. And Sean is very much he is that breath of fresh air that is like, all right, we can latch onto this and enjoy the show because that's what we're here for. We paid our money. We're not just going in to be like, all right, let's just go see Adesanya kick his butt and go home after paying $200-$300 for tickets. No, I think that that kind of energy and that thing with Sean Strickland threw off Adesanya a little bit, if I'm being honest. Now, in the fight, look, all the other stuff aside, I think that stylistically, Adesanya just found himself unraveled a little bit because he couldn't figure out an effective way with his style and the way he likes to fight to break through the Philly shell and the forward pressure. So, I mean, that's all she wrote. We now talk about the future now, right? So, Dricus du Plessis obviously coming off a emphatic victory over Robert Whittaker. Khamzat Chimaev and Paulo Costa are going to fight a little over a month from now. There's obviously, you could do an immediate rematch. So, I'm going to toss it to you with all those pieces. In your heart, what is the next move that the UFC is going to make for Sean Strickland?
Honestly, what I think they're going to do, I would think they're probably going to do the rematch. That's what I would think. I know that they like Adesanya being champ. So they didn't even want Sean to get this fight in the first place, let alone, you know, have him as champ. So, and I love it, though. I really like Sean as champ. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a really fun era for middleweight. But, yeah, I think they're probably going to do the rematch next. But here's my thoughts on the rematch. I'm just like thinking, what adjustments is Adesanya gonna be able to make for the rematch? How is he going to solve that puzzle is what I don't know. Because it's like, we thought if Sean was gonna win, the small chance that we all thought there was, we thought it was gonna be with wrestling. We didn't think he was gonna win a 5-round stand-up battle with Adesanya. So, and I don't think Adesanya thought that either. I think he thought there was a threat with wrestling, and they probably worked a lot on takedown defense in camp, but I don't know that they were really concerned about Izzy standing up with Sean probably at all. Maybe a little bit, but yeah, I don't think that was the concern, just because Izzy has never really struggled that much with anyone to stand up. So I'm wondering, how does Izzy beat Sean? I don't know. I'm not convinced that he's going to be able to beat him. I don't know. I don't know how he does. But I do think that is what is going to be next. And I think it probably should be, because Adesanya had such a dominant run in that division. And really, I mean, if you look at his losses, it's Sean Strickland, Alex Pereira, Jan Blachowicz. So, you know, Jan and Alex aren't even in middleweight anymore. They're already in, you know, they're fighting each other in light heavyweight.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah. Yeah, I think the rematch is probably next. But I do like the idea if Khamzat beats Costa. I do like Khamzat versus Strickland, too.
Yeah,
but I don't
I mean,
think that'll happen.
Costa is such a... Khamzat is such a superstar. And, I mean... I think this layoff has hurt him so much, because now look at it, like, you have Dracus has all had built all that heat with Adesanya. I mean, yep. I think Dracus has fought 3 times since Khamzat's last fight. I mean, yeah. This is what happens when you're not active and things happen. And I know it's not all on him. I think there was a UFC scheduling thing that happened, but my goodness, like, now it's like Khamzat, he is such a superstar, yet I can't tell you that he's the guy that, as a fan, I want him next for the title. I kind of want to see some other storylines play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, to talk about what's next for Sean, I agree with you. I think that the rematch happens for the UFC 300 of it all, because as we get closer to December, we don't know where Conor McGregor is going to fall. As it goes right. on, I feel like they would just put Conor McGregor somewhere else, because you just feel like, all right, this is an easy million pay-per-views. Easy. You could put him in April. Oh, you could yeah. put him in June. You could put him in February. All right, 1 million. Boom. Easy. Just, it's a given. Then you could stack UFC 300. So you get technically two big pay-per-views, rather than one, putting Conor at 300, because 300 is going to get a stacked undercard. Conor, more or less, he could carry it by himself. I know they'll give him some help, but you get what I'm saying. So from a marketing standpoint, I feel like as we get closer, they would probably see it as, we're going to put Conor anywhere else because that's easy. For 300, you do the rematch with Izzy and Strickland. Easy sell. You still got the star power of Adesanya. You have all of this. It's most likely in Vegas, so... You know, Sean went to Izzy's part of the world. Now it's vice versa. All of that good stuff tends to play out. That's how I see it. Now, logically speaking, I kind of agree with Daniel Cormier. Strickland fights Khamzat or Costa or Dracus. Izzy fights the odd man out of the, you know, of that scenario. And it's like a main and co-main event, and then you set up the winners against each other. That would probably make more sense. But I just think that the UFC, the way they want to sell this thing, they probably want an Adesanya at 300, add a Volkanovski against a Topuria at 300, and just sell the heck out of it. Because at this point, I just don't get the feeling that Conor McGregor at 300 happens. I'm not entirely... I think the ship has sailed... You know, as we get closer on Conor in December also, regardless of what he tweets. So I think that's just where we're at. That's how all those pieces play out.
Yeah, definitely.
I want your thoughts real quick. You touched on it. You're excited for the Strickland era. the Sean era, which I appreciate all the graphics of O'Malley and Strickland
So
online.
cool.
Yeah. So look, I find it, I know he's offending people, but I just am in awe to the point of amusement. His willingness to continue leaning into his lack of political correctness. Did you see his shirts and merchandise for this fight?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my mom loves that, by the way.
Some of them were, I was
that's
like,
why she's
my
such
goodness.
A big fan.
Yeah. Some of them like cancel me and all this other
but
stuff.
But you know
I'm
what?
Like,
that just goes to show, like, my mom, like, she loves Sean.
Oh yeah.
For
and
that
also,
reason.
I don't think he's entirely like that. I think he has some strong opinions, but it's like, no, he kind of leans into this. And
I think he knows what he's doing now.
Oh yeah.
I think before he was truly just being Sean Strickland, but I think now, like, he's having fun with it.
He's
like,
cracked
he's...
the code on how to actually monetize it.
Yeah, he's actually, it's smart. I think it's smart. And you know what? Like, yeah, he's not, obviously he's not politically correct at all. And I definitely don't agree with a lot of things that he says, but I still think he's a cool guy. Like, I still think he's a great fighter, and it doesn't make me like dislike him at all. But it's just funny. Like, I'm trying to think of what I was trying to say. So yeah, just the way that he is now, like, I think he started a podcast with Chris Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, he's starting to like really have fun with it. But if you think about it, like, him after the fight, his post-fight interview, and even a lot of the UFC embedded stuff.
He was chill.
Yeah. Like, especially like when he was with his girlfriend, I don't know if maybe she like chills him out a little bit.
Is that the secret? Just get a, you know,
it makes
when
me
you're
wonder,
crazy, get a chill girl and she just changes your life.
Yeah, because I don't remember him having a girlfriend before, like, at least not on the UFC stuff. They never really showed any, but I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but they kind of brought her to the spotlight a little bit more, I guess, on this one. But yeah, maybe that has a lot to do with it. Maybe he just has a good woman in his life that's like kind of putting, you know, everybody kind of has little pieces missing that, you know, like me, like, I'm not very organized, like, I'm scatterbrained, like, those are kind of my flaws. But sometimes when you find the right person and they kind of like compliment that a little bit, it really helps you. So maybe that's what's going on with him. I don't know. But it seems like he just was a lot more, I don't know. He wasn't like saying anything disrespectful in the post-fight interview. He was talking trash about Izzy, of course.
I mean, if you had put money that Sean Strickland would not have the most offensive post-fight interview, you probably would have won as much money as picking him to win the fight.
He had actually a very classy post-fight interview, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just funny. But yeah, I think he's evolving. I think he's just continuing to grow as a person. And maybe he does, you know, hear what people say. And maybe, you know, he says things in the moment and then he looks back on him. He's like, oh, yeah, maybe I was wrong about that. Like, maybe in his head, he's kind of like just growing as a person. I mean, he's already said like where he's come from in his past. So it's like, yeah, he's still kind of evolving. And it's really cool to see, actually, because he is starting to have fun with it and he is figuring out ways to monetize it, whether the UFC, you know, likes him or not. it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you know, there's plenty of other, let's say if the UFC were to ever have an issue with him, it's like, there's plenty of other organizations he could go to and be very successful. So it's like, that's not a problem for him. Like, what he's doing, I think, is great. And it's really fun having somebody in the sport that's champion, that's kind of like that underdog, that outsider, you know, somebody who wasn't supposed to be there. Like, everybody doubted you, everybody, you know, told you you couldn't do it. And, you know, maybe your whole life you kind of grew up with, you know, issues, and you just never felt like you fit in. Like, I can definitely relate to that. So I think that's why a lot of people resonate with Sean, is because he's kind of like, you know, that guy that just is wants to belong, you know, and I think that people relate to that or inspired by that. Like, I know I am.
It's so, like Rocky, if Rocky was talking trash to everybody.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really like to see it. So I'm excited about it. Now, that being said, I am a little worried if so if they do the rematch, I'm actually favoring Sean in that fight.
Yep.
But if he has to fight Duplessis, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think Duplessis might be able to beat him.
I mean, but if you ask me, like, all four of those guys, and maybe Costa, I think, would struggle the most. But, like, when I think of Dracus, Khamzat, I'm going to throw Rob Whitaker back in there. Jared Cannonier, let's not forget, Cannonier is on back-to-back wins, including Sean. I mean, I think they are just so different from Izzy that it's like, no, I don't think it's out of the question to say that, like, Sean might have his hands full because Izzy just fights so specifically to him. And yeah, you got some real powerhouses at middleweight that, you know, respectfully, Izzy's great, but he just does not fight like a Cannonier or a Dracus. And I think that that is a whole different kettle of fish stylistically for a guy like Sean.
Yeah, Dracus is different. He's tricky, you know, and he's also a really, really good striker. I think people kind of forget about that because he did kind of wrestle in the Robert Whittaker fight, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that fight, how that went down. Gosh, there's been so many fights since then.
I mean, Dracus, I mean, just it, I think he fights similar to Whittaker, like just that,
yeah,
that in and out. I think that's the biggest thing.
He did have kind of some cardio issues before, though, which Sean clearly does not have. So
I
that
think you
could
just
got to
worry about the early adversity more from
yes.
those guys.
If
Jared...
Sean loses to Dracus, it'll probably be in the first round.
Yeah, that's that. I see that scenario too, but
I don't think Sean has the kind of chin that even Robert Whittaker has. Like, I don't think, because we saw him get just demolished by Pajeda.
Well,
so
I think it's all about the defense. So, like, Whittaker, he's just not there to be hit a lot, right?
That's
Sean,
true.
It's more or less like it's all the block and parry for a guy like him, and maybe that's,
yeah, and Whittaker
maybe that
fights
him
with
trouble.
His hands down too, so
oh yeah, from the hip, whereas, you know, if we're being real, Sean's defense and the way he kind of approaches it, that probably is what gave him trouble against Pajeda and against Cannonier.
Yep.
So yeah, but look, I mean, we'll obviously find out soon enough.
It's gonna be crazy to see what happens.
I'll be in
really
Vegas
curious.
All week. I'm expecting Sean to do something this week. I can't see how it isn't. UFC is back in Vegas for the first time in weeks. I'm sure Sean is going to do a signing or he's going to do something. So I'm waiting for it. Real
I think
quick on
Izzy,
his...
too, will probably start selling that rematch soon. Like, he's,
oh, yeah,
he's probably going through a roller coaster of emotions right now. But once the dust settles and he kind of, you know, gets angry again, because Sean talked a lot of trash about him. So I think Izzy's going to create a narrative very soon and start selling that rematch.
1,000%. Real quick on the comments. UFC knows and the MMA public knows how Sean is on the mic. Now, when you talk about the ESPNs and the other decision makers that do have some pull at UFC, it's not just the world of Dana White and that's it. I think that you could see, like, ESPN telling Dana, like, oi, we can't be having this guy saying stuff and, you know, some of the other offensive things that he says that, you know, you, if other people say certain things, you don't get a paycheck from Mickey Mouse. And
right.
I think that's what UFC might have to deal with. Or, like, sometimes Dana does the non-UFC media. He goes on, like, the CNNs or something like that to promote a big fight and, you know, this, you know, pioneer, or not pioneer, but just leader of industry. And, you know, if you're trying to sell the return of Conor McGregor and then you have Sean Strickland saying what Sean Strickland does, you could see one of these Dave Muir and one of those big name reporters and journalists saying, like, so Dana, your middleweight champion said this about this group of people, and then it's like Dana now has to deal with that with Shauna's champion. Before, yep. when he was just doing Apex cards, let's be real, the big outlets of the world did not care. It was only an MMA thing. Now Sean goes beyond the MMA circles as champion, and I think that's a huge thing. So I think Dana might have to deal with that, but I think even Sean knows, I have a chance to make good money. Don't mess this up. And we go from there. Let's
talk about the undercard. That's a good point.
Yeah, let's talk about the undercard a little bit to get through, because we got a lot. Alexander Volkov, Ezekiel's tied to Ivasa. That was just such a fun fight.
It was.
I was actually impressed with how much they... I thought it would have been a little bit like what we expect from Adesanya, pick and pop as you have a slugger. To be honest, they got into some good scraps throughout the fight before they went to the ground. I was very impressed. I thought that Volkov's physicality... his legs, I feel like I don't remember his legs looking that thick. He looked like Alexander Rokic out there, just like ready to, he just looked strong. Like his base was strong to stand in there with a banger like Tuivasa. And then Ty, I think he just was outmatched. And then, you know, he's getting caught. He's eating to the body, to the head. He's bleeding. And then on the ground, I mean, just full credit. Anytime you get one of those high degree of difficulty submissions, I'm like, let's go. Way to show off. I thought it was great for Volkov. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really happy to see Volkov win. And I kind of talked about this leading up to this fight when I was doing my predictions, because I picked Tuivasa just because I was like, okay, he's in Australia, he's got that energy, and we've seen Tuivasa kind of overcome the odds before. So I was like, I don't know, he might just catch Volkov at the right time, and that's why I love heavyweight, because that kind of stuff does happen. We've seen Derek Lewis do it so many times. So it's like, and we've seen Ty do it so many times too. So I'm like, okay, you know, I think he might be able to pull this off. But that being said, I was like, the thing is, Volkov, if you look at it, is a much better fighter. He's got way more experience. Leading up to this fight, he had, I think, 45 or 46 professional MMA fights. So Volkov is the more experienced guy. He's also gigantic. He's huge. And he moves really well, too. So... yeah, but he did get knocked. I mean, he has been knocked out before. So I was like, I don't know what to expect here. But he looked incredible. He looked really good. His leg got beat up a little bit by Ty, and I was expecting Ty to do that. I thought that would be part of his game plan, to kind of try to lessen the power of Volkov. But yeah, ultimately, there wasn't really much that Ty could do. He was yeah, just kind of outmatched there.
Yeah, I think that, look, Volkov, like you said, he's had his setbacks. He's kind of come up short in some big ones. But yep. He's such a technically good fighter. And I think that at this stage of his career, the way it's coming together, the move to Vegas and all that, I think all of that is just him in the best position. He still matches up great with so many guys. I think that at this stage of the heavyweight division, wait and see, take the right fights, take the right fights at the right time, because I do think he feels like, you know, the time for me to work my way up the ladder, I think it just seems like he's not interested in it. I think he knows it's like, you know, it's the championship, or I'm trying not to get beat up now as I've been in the game so long. Former Bellator champion, obviously been in like two title eliminators, I feel like, just... he wants it to all come together now, and I think he's in the best position for that to happen. And behind a great scrap, I think he's in another main event or another big fight in his next fight easily. So I'm looking forward to it. And then obviously, like, the people's, I don't want to say people's main event, but man, the people just felt this way about something. Felipe Dos Santos, short notice, was supposed to do contender series, and instead he steps up to take on a guy who probably could have had a title shot if he starched Kai Kara France, Manel Kopp, or Cape. I feel like I hear him said both ways, Bree, and it frustrates me because I want to get it right. But the fact is, Kopp, yeah, Kopp and Dos Santos, they just freaking slugged it out. It was like the gif of the two cats just swiping at each other. So much output. Both of them just so game. Cop did control a lot of those exchanges, but Felipe just stayed right in his face, and he made Cop work for everything. And it made for such a fun fight. I mean, Dos Santos, I mean, you tell me, Contender Series, this dude's ready for the top 10. I mean, Cop was training.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
Yeah, he was training for a freaking potential title eliminator, if I'm being honest, with the, you know, looking for a new guy for Pantoja, even though I know Pantoja got him. It's just like, he knew he could be in that conversation with a win over Kai Kara France. And Felipe stepped in and took it to him. So it just made for a fun fight. What are your thoughts on how it all went before we talk about what might be next for Cop?
Yeah, that was a really great fight. And going into that, I wasn't sure what to expect from Dos Santos because, yeah, it's his debut. And he's only 22, so he's really, really young. Doesn't have a ton of experience. He was 7-0 before this fight. So that was the one thing that he had. It's like, okay, well, he's never been beat before. And Cop has been beat before. So, you know, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. But I had a feeling that Cop would win just because of the experience. And he's also a very tricky guy. He switches stances a lot. He moves around a lot. He likes to showboat. Like, he's just, you know, he's very unique. So I was like, yeah, I don't know how a, you know, relatively new fighter is going to handle Manel Cop, just with all that being said. But Felipe did a great job. And honestly, that fight, I mean, Cop won the fight, but I felt like I was more impressed with Dos Santos just because really the odds were completely stacked against him there. He took it on short notice. He's way less experienced. He's fighting, you know, a guy that could have potentially, you know, gotten to the title. So yeah, it was actually a really impressive performance for both of them, I thought. And Felipe, he's got a bright future. He really does. And he's training at Shootbox. So he's getting some really, really good work in. And yeah, I'm excited to see where he goes. I mean, I don't know, he kind of looks like a little version of Charles Oliveira.
Yes, I was going to say that. It was like standing up tall and he's skinny and all that with the hair. Yeah. I was like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. He's entertaining too. He's fun to watch. And that's really important. Because if you're not going to win a fight, at least entertain. And then, you know, the UFC they'll probably be good to you. So, and we've seen it happen with, you know, many other fighters where they don't win all the time, but we love watching them fight and they get good fights and they get paid well because they're fun to watch. So I think he has a really bright future in, you know, that division. It's not going to take him long. If he can stack up some wins, it's not going to take him long to get a title shot. And he could be, you know, he could be a pretty young champion if he plays his cards right. So I'm excited. I'm excited for both, Cop and Dos Santos.
Oh yeah, I think that he only, ironically, let's say he went out there and starts someone at Contender Series, freaking Joe Pyford, you know, oh my god, Bo Nickel. I was like, why am I blanking on him? I think he did more for himself losing the Cop than had he just taken somebody out in Contender. Honestly,
I agree.
It just worked out so well for him, and he got invaluable experience being in there with a guy like Cop on short notice. But yeah, now, like, for Cop, so Pantoja and Moreno really beat the heck out of each other in July, and Pantoja, he was waiting a while. He had to wait for the quadrilogy with Davison and Brandon. I don't know when we're going to see Pantoja. Is he still healing up from that? Does he want to take his time? Does he want to let, you know, being a new champion marinate? Because if he does, I could see Cop and Royval trying to run it for the next title shot. The Cop Kai Kara France fight, that, look, I would love to see it next. The way they did all this during the week, you know, A-. Cop would have gotten the A+ if he didn't drop the F-bomb right at the end of his post-fight speech, but I digress. I'm not even going to get started on Ratke. That dude, I think he just wanted to go Colby Covington. But back to Cop. I thought he did a great job building that fight. I love what he did with Israel. He knew Izzy wasn't going to hit him. What's Izzy going to do? Freaking ruin his own fight? No. So I thought he did, you know, chef's kiss. Well done. That fight now, though, is kind of always there. So it's like, all right, well, what do we get next? You know, is it a title shot? Because Pantoja's beating Royval and Cop. And those are the two guys who I would argue should be next for Pantoja. I don't want to see Brandon and them run it back. I think Brandon needs a different guy before we talk about that.
Yeah.
So when does Pantoja come back? I will say I think that Royval has the better run right now. But if Pantoja is going to be a minute, just pair up pair up Royval and Cop. What about you?
Yeah, I like that fight. You could do. What's going on with Albazi? What is he? Does he have
a
fight coming up?
That's a good point. No, he doesn't. I think he is also waiting a little bit to see when Pantoja would be available. You could throw him in that mix too.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because I actually thought Kai won that fight between him and Albazi. Yeah, I don't know. That division, huh.
Like, they all have a case, but they all gotta wait. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, I mean, I know, I get your point on the rematch. I do think the rematch is still on the table, though, with Moreno and Pantoja. Just because, I mean, Moreno was pretty much injured the whole fight. So, I don't know. But then it's like, well, how long is it gonna take for Moreno to heal up? Do we have any updates on his,
I think
we're
going to
broke
get
his hand.
We don't, I'm assuming we're going to get it this week. He's going to be doing media for the Alexa fight. You know that. So I think we'll get an update this week.
Point.
Yeah. But no, we haven't heard him say much. By the way, I was looking at it. Pantoja beat Royval and Cop back to back. So I feel like you need them to fight just because it's like, what's he going to do? Give it back to one of them. Probably take Albazi just to flesh out his, you know, resume, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that division is really kind of a mess, honestly, because it's like a lot of them have losses to each other.
Yeah.
But the only one that, I don't know, like, Moreno and Pantoja are kind of really the top guys in the division right now, in my opinion. And then, I don't know, it's kind of a similar situation with that's going on with featherweight, too. With Max Holloway continuing to just beat everybody. but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I do like the idea of the Royval fight. Because he's on a win streak right now. And then, I don't know. I do wonder about Brandon, though. I do wonder about that. And then I wonder how soon is Pantoja going to want to come back? Because that really is going to make the biggest difference. Because if he wants to fight again soon, then I don't think he's going to fight Brandon. I think he'll probably fight one of these other contenders. Albazi, Cop, Royval, whoever. But that's interesting. A lot of possibilities there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like someone's the odd man out somewhere just on timing. I think that's what it comes down to. Is Royval, it's been a minute since he fought. Someone's going to be the odd man out on timing and they wait for Pantoja. But in my world, I see Pantoja fighting Albazi most likely, if not Brandon, and then Cop and Royval fight each other just because, like, they've both had shots at Pantoja already. So
yeah, exactly.
Rather recently too. I mean, they're part of Pantoja's current win streak. So
yeah.
Obviously, you know, we touched on it at the top of the show. Gamebred FC. You know, moving on from Sydney. JDS and Verdum. First off, my biggest thing is it's good to see the vets getting opportunities. When I look at the heavyweight division, I don't think it's unfair to say that maybe their time really running that in like a UFC kind of is, you know, that chapter is probably closed. That being said, they're really big names who could still compete. So I appreciated the fact that, like, you know, they get an opportunity like Gamebred. Talk to both of them, talk to Masvidal. everyone was really cool and really excited for it. I think that the delivery of the show really went well, production wise and everything. Obviously, like you said, David out there, Robin Black, Kayla Harrison, I think all of it came together really cool for them. Obviously, JDS, split decision. I thought that was a little, whiskey tango yeah. foxtrot. should have been unanimous. But look, speed and power was 10 years plus later still the deciding factor in JDS versus Verdum. And I think really my thing about it, okay, he looked good. It was a good event and all that. Where does this fit into the big picture in MMA for the future? And I think the biggest question is, okay, like, did this put JDS in the Francis Ngannou sweepstakes? And unfortunately, my thing with that is I think that PFL is going to go in-house for Ngannou's debut in their company. Obviously, he's boxing in about a month.
Yeah.
I think that JDS, while he's on the short list, you also have to argue that, well, he's already lost to Ngannou. So that's a little difficult to sell. And that being said, I don't know that there is a, quote, free, open market heavyweight that's bigger than Dos Santos. So I think you have to have him in that conversation. Now, what happens with Bellator and PFL? I'll be honest, I think they're still figuring that out. I think they don't know if they actually want to absorb everybody. I don't know if they feel like they want to go to the table and try to just outbid UFC for, like, Usman and AJ McKee and Johnny Eblen and all that. I feel like they're figuring that out. So I'm not entirely sure that we will necessarily see all of the Bellator guys fighting in PFL in 2024. You know what I mean?
No.
In that case, is Ryan Bader on the table for Ngannou? Because that is easily, with respect to Hennin, Goltsov, Ante D'Elia, that might be the biggest name heavyweight champion out there that's available for Francis Ngannou in MMA. So I don't know. There's a lot of options.
I don't know how I feel about. Yeah, I don't think JDS lasts past the first couple minutes with Ngannou. Unfortunately, I think if they. Yeah, no. I do think that it would be. Maybe if, okay, here's my thoughts. So Ngannou's about to fight Tyson Fury, whatever. So most likely he's not going to win that fight. But if he gets like knocked out or really bad, or like, if he needs recovery time, it's going to be a while for him to make his return to MMA anyways. So, or depending on what happens, or he's probably not going to fight this year for sure. In, I don't know, it might not even be till mid to late next year that Ngannou makes his MMA return, but, or who knows, I don't know. But I'm assuming that Tyson's gonna absolutely destroy him in this boxing match. And I love Ngannou, I'm a huge Ngannou fan, but boxing, no. That's just my opinion. But I don't know if JDS could, because potentially what could happen is Alan Belcher versus Roy Nelson is going to be October 28th in Gamebred FC. So that's the next event. And the winner of that, Jorge already said, will fight JDS. Or he said before they'll fight. The winner of JDS Verdum will fight the winner of Roy Nelson, Alan Belcher. So whoever wins that fight will fight JDS. If JDS wins that fight, then I would say, okay, let's see him fighting Ngannou. Sure. But that, I think, is what it would take for me to be sold on that fight. And then, which very well could happen, or who knows, what if Roy Nelson wins that thing? And then Roy Nelson could fight Francis Ngannou, or Alan Belcher could fight Francis Ngannou. I mean, I think that it just is going to depend on, their performances. I'm really, really excited to see that next fight, Roy Nelson versus Alan Belcher. Really excited to see how that plays out. And then the next fight, JDS versus the winner of that, that's going to be really interesting. So, obviously if JDS takes the fight, but,
I was going to say, I feel like he might even weigh his options. Like,
yeah, that's,
I
my,
can see PFL
that's my biggest
him,
fear.
PFL picking him up for the super fight division. you know, and just like it's not Ngannou, but you fight like whoever loses the final coming up next or in 2 months in PFL. I could see that
I think
too.
I think if Goltsov wins the tournament, which I think is a big possibility, I think I would like to see him fight Ngannou. I mean, he's on a tear right now. So I don't know. I do think that fight would be interesting. But I do think that Ngannou beats everybody in PFL right now.
Yeah, no. That's not unfair. I think he should be heavily favored.
But you never know. It's MMA. Sean Strickland just beat Israel Adesanya. So I don't know.
I've said this. When Juliana Pena beat Amanda Nunes, all bets are off. Really don't know
exactly.
Anything. I mean, at least Strickland was on a win streak, crying out loud, you know?
But getting back to Game Bread, so so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then also just, a lot of these fighters are really, really fun. Joel Bauman, you know, he looked incredible on Friday night. And I'm trying to think of some other fights that caught my attention. Anthony Njoquani, that fight was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
it was a crazy fight. Joe Penafil versus Joey Roquette. Obviously, I knew that one was going to be a banger. There were a lot of fun fights and just really unique, entertaining guys on that card. And it'll be interesting to see if they ever have any... I don't know. I haven't looked at their past fight cards. Like, I was going to go back and look at all the fighters that have fought on Game Bread before, because I haven't really done a deep dive into it yet, and I'm really excited to. But I'm wondering if they'll bring any, like, female fighters to bare knuckle MMA, because there's actually a lot of females in BKFC. And they're fun. Like, they're fun to watch. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they do there. Or they could even do, and they're kind of already doing this. Like, they have a lot of fighters on their roster that were on that card that are, like, really big on social media and stuff. So they're getting a lot of attention. So I think that's something they're doing really well, too, which is kind of, you know, they're doing that with all these, you know, YouTuber fights and YouTuber boxing, but these guys are actually legit fighters though. So it's really cool. And Jorge did a great job, and it was free. I mean, they streamed it for free. It was really it was fun to watch. It was a really fun event.
I thought that was a key move for the brand. It's like, I think that, like, I'll say this, people talk a lot about Bellator. Personally, for me, I'm one of those guys who already has a lot of subscriptions to everything. Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hulu. I got the bundle. I like HBO Max. And, you know, sometimes I'll see stuff that I want to watch on Apple or Paramount, and I'm like, am I about to get another one? And I tell myself, no. I do not pay for Showtime. And I'll tell you right now, I think that was one of the worst moves that Bellator did, was going behind the Showtime paywall. Because I think when they did that, it's like, all right, at least before, once a month, every other month, you have your cards on the old Spike TV Paramount. Now it's like everything's behind a paywall. And when you already have UFC every week, you immediately make the fans decide, are you going to pay extra for more MMA? And I'm sorry, but I think a lot of them say no. I think it is a very, in a niche sport, I think only, you know, the most hardcore of hardcores are going beyond the paywall, you know, paying the cost to keep watching more MMA, just because they're just like the rest of us. MMA is not the only thing I watch. I want to watch this over here, that over here. All of that is money. I live in an area where they're having trouble with Disney. I don't get ESPN on cable anymore. I don't get ABC.
I mean, the UFC, it's like you can justify it because that's the big, you know, that's...
And there's so much.
Really the pinnacle of MMA. So that's the top of the top in the sport, you know. And until you get to that point, it's kind of hard to justify charging more than a little bit of money for it. I mean, you know, charge whatever, $5-$10 a month, whatever, but... Even then, still, it's tough. So I'm glad they did it for free. Obviously, they're not, you know, probably going to do it free forever. But I think in the beginning, it's smart because you're getting eyeballs on it. You're getting people watching it. You're getting
fighters you who want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And you're getting it in front of different people because they don't have to pay for it. You know, it's on YouTube, which is a huge platform. And the other thing, too, and you were kind of talking about, like, Sean Strickland, you know, and the deals with ESPN and all this stuff. He can, you know, if he says certain things, it's like, yeah, bare knuckle, I don't have to worry about that right now because they're not on one of those major networks. So they don't have to be corporate, if you will. They can say whatever they want, which is fun. It's cool.
I will say, like, I know we are in a very, like, you can find anything everywhere. I mean, ESPN, every few months, they still do that, like, Dodgeball, ESPN 8, the Ocho, and they have the most random stuff on network television, and I'm like, yeah, you know, the whole bare knuckle thing is still, even in combat sports, still very niche.
Yep.
And so I think that it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know that you can necessarily make that leap across the Grand Canyon right now and start charging all that, even though I know regular BKFC has been at it. But to your point with the women, I want to point out is the thing I've been told, and you could just see this, picking up female fighters is very difficult because there's so few of them. So it's like you almost have to work just to find two that are perfectly matched competitively if you're not a UFC. And UFC and these other leagues, they will sign fighters so quickly because there's so few of them. So the second you make any kind of momentum, they're grabbing you because you're probably not going to be on the market for very long. I know it sounds like dating rather than, you know, business, but it's true. The same thing with the heavyweights. Cyril Gane, 3 fights in, signed to the UFC. Why? Because there's not that many heavyweights. Get him now because he will not be available for long.
On Contender Series, like Knutson, she didn't get signed right away, but then I think within
like
a week,
4 days later,
because they probably realized, where else are we going to find somebody that has that much skill in this division in the women's? It's like you're not going to find it very easily.
Also, so, keep in mind PFL, like they let what's his name, Austin Vanderford, Brendan Loughnane. A week later, they were big contracts for Bellator.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, because you're not going to have guys with that level of talent and just everything, all those qualities on the market very long. So they pick them up. Like in terms of game bread, I think a good start. I think now it's about just continuing to build on this, which back to back with the Roy Jones, Pettis, and now this, I think he's doing a fantastic job. I think he's making it. I'd almost feel like, I don't know what I want him to do because I like them both objectively, but then part of me wonders, it's like, all right, well, what's going on? I feel like if you do the MMA thing, I'm going to ask what's going on with the boxing and vice versa. And so it's kind of like, and maybe that's, he wants that freedom. He wants it to be this. We're going to focus on boxing for this show because the timing is good, or MMA this show if the timing is good. I think the biggest key is being able to keep these guys to want to fight MMA as opposed to just, I don't want to say easier, but I think there is a level of, you know, some fighters want the just bare knuckle boxing in BKFC. Because it's like, you know what? I kind of want something.
Because they don't have to train grappling.
Exactly.
They don't have to kick. Yeah. And especially like for a lot of the shorter fighters like Mike Perry, you know, it works great for him, that style. You know, his style is perfect for bare knuckle boxing. It is absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And even like a Sean Strickland, I could see doing really well in bare knuckle boxing. Oh my God.
He is,
that'd be
cut
incredible.
Out for that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So if the UFC ever, you know, has problems with him, like I'm sure there's plenty of other organizations that would be ready to drop some cash on Sean Strickland. But I do think one thing about Game Bred that really excites me is I don't think it's necessarily geared toward the fan that is, you know, keeping up with all the rankings and, you know, they're a better or whatever, like things like that. Like it's, I don't know if it's necessarily geared towards that type of fan, but what I do think it's geared towards is maybe it's going to like kind of wake up a lot of the old fans, you know, the people that watched Pride and the old UFC fights when they had sponsors on their shorts. And I think that is the type of fan that is going to be attracted to Gamebred. They're fans that they love MMA, but they don't watch it anymore because they can't keep up with all the different, you know, PFL and UFC and all these different things. They just want to watch fights.
And they want a bit of the carnage violence. Again. Like, yeah. They don't want, like, Adesanya, GSP aren't for everybody. Mike Perry is for everybody. Just like,
yeah,
it's like junk food combat sports. You just like some carnage. Yeah. That McDonald's golden fry, it's not healthy, but damn, it's good around the world. There you go.
Yeah, well, no, and they're making money too. They're getting paid more than they would be if they were in, you know, PFL or Bellator or UFC. Oh, yeah. So it's good for the fighters. It's good for the fans. It's fun. It's, yeah, I think it's more of just like a classic type of fighting, and it's not all corporate, you know. It's, they don't have a Reebok deal, you know. It's like, it's more,
although Verdum with his PFL fight kit, I was like, bro, what? That was so awkward. That's like wearing like your ex's shirt.
That is so, yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's hilarious, actually.
And I was like, you couldn't get a new, what is it? You want to save some money or something?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. Maybe he was thinking if he won that he could call out Francis or something.
Yes. No. Oh my, you were thinking. I wouldn't have thought of that. Shoot. I'm
yeah,
a little disappointed
that's...
I didn't.
Probably what it was. Now that you mention it, yeah, because if he would have won that fight, especially if he would have submitted JDS, if he would have been able to take him down and submit him,
in
then you have
PFL
a story
kit,
for Francis.
Oh,
but because yeah. I mean, if you look at their last like 5-6 fights side by side, Verdum has had the better career lately than JDS. So I don't know. Verdum looked really slow in that fight, I thought.
Yeah.
Compared to what I'm used to seeing from him, which I was expecting him to look better than he did his last fight. So I don't know. It was interesting. But I mean, man, what a legend. He has nothing left to prove. So
look, you sub Cain Velasquez and Fedor. You're good. You've won the game.
He's also like 46 years old, so it's understandable.
Very fair. I don't want us to put our work to waste, so I'm going to toss it to you. Quick thoughts on the Apex main events coming up. So we have Grant Dawson against Bobby Green on the 7th, and then Sadiq Youssef, Edson Barbosa on the 14th. What are your quick thoughts on those?
Quick thoughts on that. I'm going with Grant Dawson. I think his wrestling is so incredible. And a lot of people don't realize he's been in the UFC for a while, and he has stacked up quite a few wins. I don't know exactly how many fights his win streak is right now, but it's impressive. It's really impressive. If you look at his career and just the run he's been on, it's absolutely insane. And I think he's just so, I don't know. He doesn't really make a lot of noise, so I don't think a lot of people realize how good he actually is. But I think he's going to absolutely dominate this fight. I really do. And I like Bobby Green. He's always so fun to watch. But yeah, I think he's got his hands full with Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson's just on a tear. He keeps getting better. His wrestling looked absolutely incredible his last fight. So yeah, I'm really, really excited for that one. And then Sadiq Youssef, Edson Barboza. I don't know. I think I might have to go with Edson on that one. Yeah, I just think that he has had the more difficult competition that he's faced and beat than Sadiq. But I don't know. You never know. I mean, he's been around for a while, so I don't know how old he is. I don't think he's that old, but he has been in the UFC for a long time. Edson.
I feel like he's in his mid-30s now.
I would think so.
I mean,
but...
like, he's been in at it a long time. And he wasn't like a Raul Rosas Jr. when he started.
Right.
86. Yeah. So 36, 37.
Okay. So he's kind of at that point where it's like, is he going to just keep going? Or is he, you know, getting towards
the
end of his
fall
career?
Off, I feel
yeah.
Like. You know, yeah. So yeah, I think that Sadiq is the one has to show he's on this level. Because Edson, every night out is still difficult. Sadiq,
oh my
I think
gosh,
that,
yeah.
good prospect. I know he had a hiccup and then bounced back, but I think this is important for him to be like, look, are you going to join Giga and them at 45 and work your way right. up the ladder? This is the fight you need to win. Grant Dawson, Bobby Green is exactly the opponent. All right, you want to be on that level? You want us to start talking about you like we did about Sarukian and guys like that? This yep. is the fight you win. These are the fights that you take. And I think the UFC is kind of testing them. Are you ready for this level or not? And I think that that's what we're seeing with both of them. Stylistically, yep. fun fights. Sadiq and Edson, I think on paper, probably more so. But I never say no to watching Bobby Green in a new fight. I think it's great. So I think it's a good one for Grant Dawson, too. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that sets it up. You know, the early fall now really getting fleshed out as we get closer. And then this Saturday, we have Noche UFC, the Mexican Independence Day card, which, my goodness, they've had a lot of changes, but it's coming together. As I told you guys, and you heard me say, I will be there all week, so follow me. There's videos, all that. I'm at everything, so just keep in touch, and I have all that stuff, all the clips and all that. But let's talk about some things leading up to it. Last week, they announced Adesanya, Volkanovski, and Shevchenko are the cover athletes for the UFC video game. Brie, I don't know if you're much of a gamer, but what is your reaction to those three being the cover athletes for UFC?
So it was Volkanovski, Izzy, and Shevchenko?
So, yeah, I guess Deluxe Edition has Izzy, but then the regular edition has Volk and Valentina,
Oh, that's right, okay. Yeah, I mean, this is the second time Izzy's been on a cover, I just realized. Yeah. And Jorge was on the cover with him on the last time, which I thought was dope. I love Jorge.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think Volkanovski definitely. I mean, I thought he was just, it was just going to be him on the cover. That's what I thought it was going to be. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, until I guess when they decided to put Izzy on the cover, they didn't know he was going to lose to Sean Strickland.
But, right.
It's almost awkward. Like he got cursed being on the cover, which has happened before. I think the same thing with, wasn't Ronda on a cover before?
I feel like a few of them, oh man,
and Connor.
I think that yeah, some of them, it's like the thing, like the EA curse, like
it's like the Drake curse,
like the guy gets, whoever's on the cover gets hurt or their team loses on like the football game. Yeah, that's why like some of them, they prefer like a legacy person, like have a retired player on the cover, because then there's no bad juju.
Right.
So look, all of them are perfectly good choices. I mean, they're fun,
absolutely.
They're dominant.
Dominant champions.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I will say, all right, in hindsight, you know, they weren't going to put Sean Strickland. I thought they were going to go Sean O'Malley. I thought they're just going to
I would have really liked that. I think that would have been really cool.
He won.
But when they decided this, they probably decided this a long time ago.
Yes,
I would think.
That's what I was going to say. I think that's
the
only
thing people
why.
Don't realize. Yeah. So they probably did so much like, because I would imagine they have the fighters, like, I don't know. I've seen them like do these video games before, and they have the fighters like wear all this crazy stuff. And then they, like I even saw Volkanovski with Mark Zuckerberg doing something like that, like
performance
with like virtual
capture.
Reality. Yeah, so they've probably been doing all kinds of stuff like that for a while now with the fighters, the ones on the cover, and doing all the promo and for the trailers and all that kind of stuff, I would imagine. So yeah, they probably had this decided a long time ago. And I don't know, I was surprised about Izzy just because he's been on a cover before. So I'm like, why would they put him on a cover again? I don't know. I mean, I don't hate it, but I'm like, yeah, he was on the last one. So it's like, what?
I mean, I would
clearly
argue.
Clearly the UFC loves Adesanya, but, and I do too.
You could have gone
funny.
John Jones, but I also get the non-MMA stuff that circulates John. Maybe EA didn't want that. Connor, it kind of feels like he hasn't fought in a minute, so it's like he's a legacy character. I don't know, I get it. Volk is fine. I love Valentina. Valentina on her resume deserves it. Out of all the elite fighters, I can't tell you that there is one who I think is le more least likely to play video games than Valentina. Like,
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like if I said to Valentina, "Hey, you want to fire up the PlayStation or something?" She'd probably look at me like, "What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, she's like,
Like,
let's go to the gun range. Like, what are you
we
talking
gotta
about?
go freaking save a country from a bomb and a virus like James Bond right now. What do you
Yeah,
mean? What are we
that's
gonna do? Play
hilarious.
Madden?" You know, so look, with respect, I'm like, I want to ask you this too. So, Valentina, how much video game playing do you do? And I feel like
Yeah,
she's
probably
gonna
zero.
hold a straight face and say, sometimes. Next question. Anyway, you know, like, and like I said, in the cage, completely deserves the cover.
100
But like
percent.
Max Holloway, DC, those guys' game, Sean O'Malley, you know,
Yeah,
Valentina.
O'Malley to me is like the obvious, but I guess yeah, they didn't think he was gonna beat Aljo.
I mean, if
So
you tell me like Valentina doesn't own a game system, I'd be like, she shouldn't either. Look, that woman is way, she has more important things to do. But yeah.
100%.
So
Yeah.
that was my one thing about them on the cover. Obviously, a little awkward for Izzy, but we didn't know that last week that we do today. So that's what it is. Alexa Grasso's custom belt. I want to touch on this because I love it, not because it's obviously cool. I love any time the UFC gives a fighter something unique to designate
Yes.
them as something different. Because we talk, you know, you probably hear this talk, the fight kits, everyone looks the same, no sponsors on the shorts, et cetera, et cetera. That to me, when you have a guy like a Bryce Mitchell with the camo shorts or things like that, I think it's very good because I feel like you want to encourage this. You want to encourage personality and performance. Because I think that for the fans, and you talk about this oversaturation of the market, anything you could do like this that's an easy way to let fans know you are watching someone special. You are watching someone important. They are not just another fight like the millions we put on week in, week out. I think is very huge. I would
I
love to see
agree.
Derek Lewis with like some Manscaped shorts now that he's in the ad. I think Max Holloway could do some Hawaiian shorts, give Dustin Poirier some hot sauce shorts. I think all of this stuff, like if Justin Gaethje, special shorts for being a BMF. I think all of that stuff would be so huge. So I love that Alexa Grasso has this. Brandon Moreno should probably be a little salty, even though he's too nice to say he is.
Right.
And, you know, I think that that's just the only thing is like, you know, Valentina, she hasn't gotten a special belt in how many title fights. But okay, you're trying to make this a bigger event. I think the UFC, they've done a pretty good job of trying to put a coat of paint on this to make you realize this is at the T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah.
Normally, I mean, let's be real. If Valentina and Alexa weren't on this fight, this is Apex. It has Apex written all over it.
A
I'm
hundred
sorry.
percent.
And so I think them trying to put all this, they have a really cool poster. They're doing this with Alexa. They're trying to really push the ads. I saw some of their social media stuff for Mexican Independence Day. They have the cards, the Loteria, if you've ever played it. It's great. They're trying to do a really good job to tell you this is a T-Mobile fight,
Yep.
whereas you know what the card actually is. And that's my one thing about it. But what was your reaction? Because I
I
know I went
think,
long.
yeah, I think it's gonna be tough coming off of the Sean Strickland Izzy fight, to bring back people's attention. I think that's a really tough event to follow, but I don't know. I do think a lot of people are gonna watch it, but I don't think the casual fans are gonna watch it. Or at least, I don't know. I don't think a lot of them will. The one thing, I guess the good thing is that, you know, they don't have to pay for it. So, or I guess they have to pay for ESPN Plus, but a lot of people have ESPN Plus. If you buy the pay-per-view, you have to have it. So, yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it's gonna, yeah, I don't know. It'll probably be huge in Mexico, though. A lot of people will be watching it there, and it'll probably get good attendance, I would hope. Being in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena.
I have heard there's still a lot of tickets, and they are, I'll tell you right now, like tickets for John Jones in March, ridiculous. I've heard it's actually pretty affordable still to get into T-Mobile this Saturday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just hard to promote that fight until the Izzy Strickland buzz is over. So it's like they really only have a few days to get people hyped up about it, at least for watching it from home. And then they still got to sell tickets too. But yeah, I think that's going to be tough because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just not, I haven't even seen really anything about it in on social media. Like I've seen hardly anything. I've maybe seen one clip of Valentina. I haven't seen anything of Grosso. I haven't even hardly seen Kevin Holland in the media.
They've been doing
so.
Mostly their own thing, I noticed. Like, Valentina's doing, she's in the YouTube game now. What? Holland was doing some stuff with the taco truck, I think, before about Shavkat, now saving UFC, you know, Noche UFC.
Yeah, hopefully they can regather people's attention to it. And Holland usually does a great job promoting his fights. And I don't know. I think Valentina Grasso, it's a good fight. Like the real fans know this is a really big fight. But for the casual fans, it might be tough just because like there's really not any trash talk. There's not a whole lot of draw, I guess, to the casual fan because they don't really know much about Grasso. A lot of them probably don't even know she's champ. They probably think Valentina is still champ.
Also, you got to think about, you're trying to turn this all around. So, like you said, we're on post-pay-per-view buzz, particularly eventful. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Sean returning to Vegas clips coming out very soon.
I hope so. That would be so fun.
Yeah. And then they're going to promote the heck out of Contender Series tomorrow night, obviously, all day tomorrow. And then Wednesday, the fight's on Saturday, you start exclusively pushing Valentina Alexa, which is like, like you can, but then by Wednesday, people have already started making plans for Saturday, right? So I think that's where the challenge really comes in. Like I said, look, I acknowledge the fact that part of it is the schedule. They kind of started making deals and booking events before they knew who was available. If we knew that Brandon and Yair were on this card too, come on now, let's go. But it didn't work out that way.
Right.
So I think that, you know, they're just putting it together the best way they can. If anything, I'm a little disappointed for Grosso not getting pay-per-view points, but that's also now a business thing that would be another show. So I get that it's not entirely on UFC. It's just scheduling and injuries. They did their best, and the card looked very different when it had, you know, Shavkat and Kelvin Gastelum too. You know what I mean? So
right. Well, yeah, and to the casual fan, like, this card, yeah, I mean, it's just not going to be a draw. But that being said, there are some great fights on that card.
Oh, yeah. Stylistically, it should be a great night of television.
Yeah, I mean, Tracy Cortez is on that card. She's fighting Jasmine. We've got Elise Reed fighting Lupi Godinez. We've got, there's Raul Rosas Jr.'s on that card. Kevin Holland in the co-main. So yeah, there's still some really great fights, and for people who follow the sport, we're gonna be watching it. But yeah, for casual fans, it's kind of tough, especially after Sean Strickland just
shocked the world.
That was crazy. If Izzy would have won, then it probably would be easier to get the attention on that fight.
I mean, let's talk a little bit of this main event, though. I mean, Alexa Grasso, first off, so I've described it. The last fight, all the pressure was from herself. This fight, you would argue, all the pressure is from other people. Because let's be real, everyone kind of counted her out like they counted out Sean. You know, like the grappling and all that, you don't got it.
I think that was an even bigger upset. I think on the odds.
That would be fair. Yeah, no, we'd have to look
maybe
at that,
not,
but I'm not
as
surprised.
Far as like the buzz goes, like attention on it, there wasn't as much attention on that fight as there was on Izzy Sean. Yeah. But as
Las
far
Vegas
as like
odds,
the numbers, yeah, I think that was a bigger upset.
Yeah, so I think Alexa has to contend with that now. Before it was kind of like, well, just go out there and do your best. Now everyone is like, well, Alexa, can you do it again? Can you do it again?
Right.
They weren't acting this way in March. So that's one. You gotta be real about it. It's Mexican Independence Day, and you are the last man standing. You are the last woman standing. You are the last Mexican champion.
Yeah.
There were almost four. Now there's one. There used to be three. You know, how can you not feel that pressure? I know she's gonna say, it is what it is. I don't feel it. You feel it. How can you not? I know I would. The same way I'll say this. Sean Strickland, I don't care. Sean cares. He's human. Nobody hears all this stuff and just freaking shrugs it off and eats their slice of pizza. It's all, it
right.
all compounds itself over time, even if you're good at compartmentalizing it. So Alexa has to be feeling that. She has the confidence. She's done it before. And now look, stylistically, it wasn't going her way until it was the last time. She's
right.
got the same qualities she did before: youth, athleticism, bit of speed. If anything, though, her game, mostly boxing, more versatile attack coming on the other side from Valentina. For Valentina, obviously, you're going to look at the fight with Tyler Santos. You're going to look at the loss to Alexa. And the first thing, is Valentina getting old? Is she starting to slow down, et cetera, et cetera? If Valentina goes out and starches Alexa, it's just going to be like, it was a hiccup. I'm not getting, you know, I'll
right.
get old one day, not today. If she loses again, then obviously Valentina's whole narrative is shifted. She is still one of the most respected flyweights. She's still arguably the most complete flyweight in terms of skills and athleticism and all that. But she now has to deliver in a way that she hasn't had to in a long time. Coming off a loss like this, getting the belt back, not being 0-2 against the same woman. All of that now comes together. She has the confidence that she was winning it the last time. But now both of them have had time to make adjustments. You know, Alexa has more to build off of than Valentina.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for a very fun fight. I'm going to save my pick until the end. I'd like to give you another crack at just breaking it down. Any thoughts you have on the matchup?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning toward Valentina on this one. Just because I think that she's just so highly skilled. But in saying that, and I do think there's a big possibility that Alexa could beat her again. But I think I'm leaning in the direction of Valentina. But I think if Valentina wins, I think this will be her last win, title win, I think. I think it might be kind of similar to how Adesanya's career is playing out. You know, she avenges her loss to Alexa maybe, and then after that, you know, just who knows? Because my thing is, I'm looking at who's coming up in flyweight, and that I think is more concerning to me against Valentina than Grasso. Like, you've got your Aaron Blanchfields, Tyler Santos, even, you know, in a close fight with Aaron, which could have possibly gone either way. And then, you know, you've got Fiero, you've got, I don't know, it's just interesting. There's a lot of talent at flyweight right now, more than we've probably seen in a long time. So if Valentina is able to avenge that loss, I don't think that she is going to hold on to that belt for very long. That is my thought. And I do think that this is probably her last, like, opportunity to get that belt back. I think if she loses again to Grasso, it's going to be tough just because there is so much talent at the top at flyweight right now.
Man, Bree Ecker just writing the eulogy of Valentina Shevchenko tonight. Wow.
Not that I don't think Valentina is better than any of those fighters. I just think it's like, you can only do this for so long. Like, it happens to everyone unless you retire, like Habib, like Amanda Nunes. Like, unless you do that, it's just hard. And who knows, maybe if she beats Grasso, maybe she retires. I don't know. You never know what these fighters are planning, what they're thinking, what their next move is. You really never know. But I just see the talent coming up at flyweight in, like, an Aaron Blanchfield. She's only 24. She's got so much growth, you know, that she still has yet to see. She's only going to keep getting better. And then,
Manon.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of talent. So it's like she's only going to be able to do this for so long against these young guns coming up. And yeah, I don't know. But I do think that Valentina is still the best in the division, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the way, and for the record, I feel similarly. When I look at Valentina, it's hard not to acknowledge the fact that it's like, not how young are these kids coming up? And
yeah,
like you said, at a certain point, you know, it has to happen. The Amanda fight is now done. So it's kind of like, well, what are we still in it for? I personally will always be disappointed. She came, her and Kamaru, the closest to completing that Infinity Gauntlet on the belt. And neither of them could get the last ruby. I was just waiting to see all the graphics. So, you know, them snapping their fingers and you see half the rankings disappear on the website. I wanted all of that. I'm a nerd like that. Yeah, Valentina, look, it like you said, Aaron, Manon look good. It is a tough, it's a tough one out for Alexa if she wins this one. It's like, imagine Valentina, Aaron, Manon back to back to back. I mean, a lot of flyweights probably can't make it through that triangle, you know? So I think it's a very tough one. I think you're very honest to say that that's probably what we'll see. I think 2 years ago, I could tell you Valentina could do it. Right this minute with the adversity she's faced recently. Yep. Oh, it's tough for me to say that. I'm with you right there. But I also know how good she can be. And this is why you fight the fights one at a time. So anything could happen. But for sure, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I personally feel like Valentina's still got it for this one. I think she's coming in with everything. I think if she loses, it will not be a tactical thing as much as an athleticism thing. Just like when you're up against these young guns who are, you know, not as many miles, fast, strong, well prepared, it's just a lot as you get a little older. And I think that Valentina is going to contend with that. If she loses, it's because of that, rather than, oh, suddenly she's forgotten how to wrestle and strike and blend it all together like she has for years. So that's how I feel. But yeah, I'm still leaning. I think Valentina still got it for this one. I don't know. Aaron's hungry. Manon's hungry. That's another day. But I think Valentina's night is still on Saturday. I'll say that.
I agree. Especially the way they came. I mean, she's only lost to really bigger girls other than Grasso. And yeah, like she's faced adversity lately. I do think that she will just need to make adjustments. I mean, she made a mistake in the first Grasso fight. So it's like, yeah, I don't think it's not like Adesanya with Strickland. Like with Strickland, Adesanya needs to come up with an entirely new game plan. Shevchenko just needs to make some adjustments. So I don't think it's going to be super difficult for her to kind of make those adjustments and not make those mistakes that she made in the first fight. I think she's so good that it's like Shevchenko on a good night can beat anyone. She really can. So yeah, I think she will win that fight. Or I'm leaning towards her winning that fight. I do think it's very possible, though, that Grasso could just maybe even beat her in an even more dominant fashion. Who knows? Maybe she's made adjustments to be like, oh, actually, you know, I made some mistakes, too, in the first fight. And so let me go back to the lab and try to get her out of there with no question marks. So I don't know, but I am leaning towards Shevchenko. But it's a great time for the flyweight division. I'm excited to see, you know, more talent coming up. And honestly, if Shevchenko wins this fight against Grasso, I think that really does kind of solidify her legacy, just because it's like, well, yeah, she's not going to be able to go back and fight Amanda Nunes. And Amanda Nunes, you know, she's a bigger fighter anyways, you know, with that matchup. But yeah, I think that if she beats Grasso, she really, to me, doesn't have a whole lot left to prove, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that that's where we're at, too, with the division. Like we said, obviously a lot to be figured out between now and then, but, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there. Obviously, next week, guys, UFC Vegas 79, Rafael Fiziev, and, oh my god, is that Gamrot? I just wrote it down and I forgot about it. Oh my gosh, yeah. Rafael Fiziev, Mateusz Gamrot. Natalie will be back, but really, Brianna, I've got to say thank you for coming on and just staying for the ride. It's been a great episode. Just what would you like fans to know about you and what you might have coming up that they could check?
Yeah, so definitely check me out if you're watching Contender Series, if you're following that. On Fight Bananas, they do the post show on YouTube and Facebook. You can stream it. I go live on there after Contender Series every Tuesday. So while Contender Series is going on, you can catch me on there. I'm releasing episodes. I do breakdowns of the fights every week. And I usually try to post some clips of like the big fights or if there's fighters that have fights coming up, I'll, you know, share interviews with them or whatever I've got going on. So I'm always creating content. I'm always putting stuff out. And you can find me, probably the easiest way is on Instagram. If you just do Bree, so Bree.Eckert, Eckert, that's where you can find my main page, and then you can find all my other stuff from there. But yeah, I'm excited. There's a lot going on in MMA right now, so there's a lot of a lot of things to talk about. So it's fun.
Well, Bree, definitely thank you for coming on. I look forward to collaborating down the line. It was a great conversation, and once again, just so much respect for the work you're putting out there.
Thank you.
Clearly someone who's enthusiastic about it and just is putting it all together. So, you know, just keep on doing it. You know, I'm a fan, and I know a bunch of other people are too. So just keep doing your thing. Look forward to talking to you again. Guys, thank you for listening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week.